The writer and novelist and social critic Charles Dickens said, "I commit my soul to the mercy of God." The scientist Michael Faraday said, "I'm going to be with Christ." The preacher John Wesley said, "God is with me." The evangelist D.L. Moody said, "Earth receding, heaven opening, God is calling." That's what they said in the face of death. The greatest person who ever lived also spoke in the face of death. In fact, he spoke seven times, the seven sayings from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Assuredly, I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. And finally, into your hands I commit my spirit." We could call these the crosswords of Jesus. The first of these crosswords is recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We'll call this full and free forgiveness. To begin with, full and free forgiveness, the place. Verse 33 tells us they came to a place called Calvary, and they crucified him. And that's when he cried, "Father, forgive them." Calvary, or in Hebrew, Golgotha, means place of a skull, or skull hill. It's situated just outside Jerusalem, a quarter of a mile from the Damascus Gate. It's where they regularly executed criminals and terrorists, enemies of Rome put to death there for all to see and fear. And that's where Jesus hangs between two thieves, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus is the man in the middle. Full and free forgiveness, the place. Next, full and free forgiveness, the pain. Again, verse 33, they crucified him. No Roman was ever crucified. It was too painful and too shameful. Josephus, the Jewish historian, said it was the most wretched of deaths. You remember that Jesus has been arrested and mocked. He's been beaten and crowned with thorns. They've spat upon him, verbally, publicly, mentally, emotionally, illegally, and physically abused. His face is unrecognizable. The Bible says it has been marred more than any man's. His back is torn, it's like a ploughed field. His hands and feet have been pierced with nails, 6-inch metal spikes. His side is bleeding. His bones are out of joint as he endures one of the most horrific forms of death anyone could suffer. Full and free forgiveness, the pain. And then full and free forgiveness, the prayer. You would expect him to cry out for vengeance, to scream for justice. Usually when someone was crucified, they would curse their captors. But Jesus doesn't cry for vengeance, nor does he scream for justice. He doesn't curse his captors. Instead, he prays. He prays for their forgiveness. You remember when he preached his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And then later on he said this, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you." Well, Jesus practices what he preaches. That's exactly what he's doing here. He's praying for his persecutors. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Full and free forgiveness, the prayer. Next, full and free forgiveness, the pattern. In his Gospel, Dr. Luke records no less than 9 prayers of Jesus. When he's baptized, he prays. Before choosing his disciples, he prays. At his transfiguration, he prays. When the pressure is on, Jesus prays. When he's under attack, early in the morning, late at night, all night on occasions, Jesus prays. In public, in private, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and here on the cross, Jesus prays. In fact, his disciples watched him and heard him pray so often that one day they came to him in Luke's Gospel chapter 11 and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Why? Because they realized he was the expert when it came to prayer. No one prayed like him. And of course, what he does in life, he now does in death. He prays. Full and free forgiveness, the pattern. Full and free forgiveness, the picture. According to the book of Hebrews, later on in the Bible, we find that Jesus is still praying. Believer, he's our eternal high priest, and he constantly intercedes for us. Just think about that. Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for me, continually representing us before the throne. And even when we forget to pray for ourselves, Jesus is praying for us. This then is a picture of his heavenly ministry. So full and free forgiveness, the place. Full and free forgiveness, the pain. Full and free forgiveness, the prayer. And full and free forgiveness, the picture. What about the plan? This cry from the cross takes us right to the very core of the entire gospel message. The gospel is all about forgiveness. We can be forgiven. We don't deserve to be. In fact, we deserve the exact opposite. But the good news, the great news of Jesus Christ is this: our sin, your sin, my sin can be forgiven through his death and by his cross, and only through his death and only by his cross. Full and free forgiveness, the plan. Lastly, full and free forgiveness, the principle. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter says this about the cross: he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. You see, Jesus suffered a substitutionary death. We understand that. He died, he suffered in our place. He suffered, he died on our behalf. His death was a substitutionary death. But according to Peter in that verse, his death was also an exemplary death. In other words, in his death, in his dying, in his suffering, he shows us how to live. And so in a real sense, we are to live the way he died. And what did we discover? Well, he died forgiving those who sinned against him. And that's how we are to live. We are to live forgiving those who sin against us. On one occasion, Peter said to Jesus, "How many times should I forgive? 7 times. And Peter thought Jesus would say to him, "No, Peter, that's far too much. Don't go overboard." But Jesus didn't say that. Rather, he said, "I don't say to you 7 times, but I say to you 70 times 7. In other words, keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. In the book of Acts chapter 7, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, he's being stoned. They're throwing rocks on him, crushing out his life. He knelt down and he prays, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And he fell asleep. Where did Stephen learn that from? Of course, right here from the dying example of Jesus. So this is the first cry from the cross, the first cross word: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Full and free forgiveness, the place, the pain, the prayer, the pattern, the picture, the plan, and the principle. Can I ask you, does this move you? Are you impacted? Or have you become too familiar with it all? If so, ask God to melt your heart and stir your soul and give you a fresh appreciation of all that Jesus has done for you. Does this move you? Next question, does this motivate you to change, to live differently? And instead of holding on to grudges and anger and frustrations, to start to forgive? Does this move you? Does this motivate you? And does this make you want to pray for your enemies, to pray for those who annoy you, those who hate you, those who hurt you, and to never stop praying for them? So full and free forgiveness. As he died, he cried 7 times, the 7 sayings of Jesus from the cross, his cross words. His first word: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."